20 years ago, we didn't talk about non-family transition because a young farmer could just come and buy that business or that land and get started. It was a different situation. But now we're really in this place where it takes a lot of creativity and planning to bring someone new onto a piece of farmland with how much it would cost for someone to get started.
Knowledge for Resilience, a cross commodity podcast brought to you jointly by the Peace River Forage Association, the Peace Region Forage Seed Association, the BC Grain Producers Association, and the Northern Cohort. Welcome to episode 12. I'm your host, Nadia Mori. "They don't make more land" is something I would hear my dad often say. Which means that if you are a young farmer wanting to start out with your brilliant farm plan, or a young at heart farmer who would love to expand operations, getting access to land can sometimes be a real stumble block or even a big fat wall you might run into. The BC Young Agrarian helps to connect folks who have land available with farmers who are looking for that perfect parcel of land to farm or ranch. The Young Agrarians offer many services beyond the land matching program. Here to give us the behind-the-scene look is Darcy Smith. Darcy has spent the last decade working to support farmers and food systems. She lives and works on the unceded Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh territories. As the first land matcher in BC, and now as BC Land Matching Program Manager, she's worked with many new entrants, seasoned farmers, and farmland holders across the province, who all share a vision to help the next generation of farmers get on the land and to see the land producing food into the future. Darcy also edits the BC Organic Grower, a quarterly magazine showcasing organic farming across BC. On this episode, we're also giving a shout out to the Dawson Co-op, the place to get livestock supplements and so much more. Talk to the local staff who can set you up with all your needs, whether it's pet food, electric fencing, or watering tanks. The Co-op can get you connected with the materials you need. Now, without further ado, let's hunt for some farmland. Today, I'm really excited to talk to Darcy Smith with the Young Agrarians. Hi, Darcy.
Hi, Nadia. It's such a pleasure to be here with you today.
Why don't we start off with Young Agrarians? And people might have a perception of what that refers to. And maybe you can tell us why you don't have to be young to be with the Young Agrarians.
Absolutely, yes. Young Agrarians is an educational resource network for new farmers. The name is a bit of a misnomer. Young Agrarians is for the young at heart, young in your farming journey, anyone who needs resources or support to get into agriculture and get their farm business going and thriving for the long term. We work with farmers of all ages, all demographics, backgrounds, production types. It's a really welcoming community, all designed to support farmers along their journey.
As a young agrarian, you may be facing some challenges, and that's where the Young Agrarians can really help you out. Do you want to just elaborate a bit on what sort of challenges you do help folks with?
New farmers today face a number of different challenges getting going in the sector. We're actually in BC and Canada as well, facing a bit of a farm renewal crisis where we are losing farmers, we're losing farms, and a big part of that is not enough new people to come in and take up the farming, whether that is intergenerational farming or people getting started who don't come from a family farming background. A Canada-wide survey done in 2015 showed that 2/3 of the survey respondents, all of them were new farmers, did not come from a family farming background. And when you're coming into agriculture without that family farming background, you don't have access to a lot of the resources that someone would if they grew up on a farm, whether that be land, family land, or knowledge. You learn a lot of spending those summers helping out around the farm or the ranch, or access to capital from not coming into an established business. And that means these new farmers need a lot of support, especially in today's agriculture sector where land prices are sky high. Land is the number one, access to land is the number one challenge for new farmers. But the price of everything is sky high today. And it's a really difficult sector to get into. But once someone can get into it, really rewarding. Lots of unique market opportunities emerging in recent years. A lot of interest from consumers in knowing where their food is coming from. So Young Agrarians is there to be a bit of a bridge, provide resources and education so that farmers can overcome those first hurdles and get on with what they really love to do, which is growing food for their communities.
I think what I also appreciate about the Young Agrarians is that you're not just down in the Lower Mainland or where all the people are. You're also representing the North, including the Peace Region.
Absolutely, yes. Young Agrarians has programs across Western Canada, so all of BC and the prairies as well. And, I think rural isolation is a huge issue for a lot of farmers who maybe don't live in a large urban center, and accessing resources when you're farther away from whether that's your suppliers or your customers is a whole different ballgame. And those farmers really do need, in some ways, even more support to get going and stay strong.
Now, I'm sure you come across a lot of different examples in your line of work with different folks at different stages of their life. Mm-hmm. Do you have some examples that you can share with us, like people trying to get into farming?
So I think in the Peace Region specifically, we see really two different types of farmers wanting to get started. And when I say farmers, I'm including ranchers under that umbrella term, just so that it's easier to say. But we do have a number of young cattle producers in the Peace Region who are either starting out or trying to grow their fledgling business into something sustainable. So we've got a lot of folks like this who are really young, keen, knowledgeable about raising cattle, and they really need access to pasture and hayland so that they can take that passion and apply it. Getting started in the cattle industry as a new entrant is no easy task. So being able to land share really helps these young producers who are trying to get a foothold in the sector to build a herd, acquire equipment, and all of that. There are also a lot of experienced cattle producers in the area. I think the Peace Region is an excellent place for a young cattle rancher to get going, so they can benefit from that knowledge in the region as well. So lots of folks who are really looking for those opportunities. And then also, which I think in recent years has been maybe a newer trend in the Peace Region, is farmers who are really seeing the need for food security and looking at doing horticulture, so growing vegetables, greenhouse production in the region, and season extension. I mentioned the greenhouses. It's a big part of business plans for folks growing vegetables, trying to push the length of the season so that they can grow more vegetables, more food that is from the region to feed their community, as well as offering employment opportunities for the area. So we've got many folks of both types looking for land in the area.
Which brings us to one of the kind of flagship programs that the Young Agrarians is known for, is the BC Land Matching Program. Do you want to just elaborate, like, where did that get started and how is it all coming together?
Yeah, so Young Agrarians really got started in 2012 as a grassroots network. And we started off hosting events, which we still do today, and making resources available online. That was just like the first level of support we were providing. And through working on those events and those online resources, you know, getting in touch with the needs of new farmers. We've developed additional programs where we think of it a little bit as pathway that a farmer is going to follow as they get into farming. So they're new to the sector, they're excited, they're interested, curious, learning. So they'll access resources online, come out to events, learn from other farmers. And then we have an on-farm apprenticeship program in the prairies so people can get training on farms. In BC, we share a lot of job opportunities so people can get that hands-on experience. And then we offer a lot of business planning, business development, education and resources as well, like our online business bootcamp. So farmers can start to plan out their business idea. And then once farmers are ready to access land, that's where the BC Land Matching Program that you mentioned comes in. And land matchers work to connect those farmers with available land. And I'll talk a bit more about what that looks like in detail. And then we also in BC have a business mentorship network where once farmers are on the land, they can get business support from another producer who's experienced in their production type and in their region, ideally, to really help them take their business to the next level. So the BC Land Matching Program within that is a really hands-on, personalized way for farmers to access land and for landholders to make their land available to someone keen and entrepreneur in their area.
If I'm a landowner and I have some land that, you know, I'm maxed out or I'm busy doing other ventures in my life and I have some land, what would this look like if I was interested in putting up my land available to one of these eager and keen young folks?
So working with a land matcher, if you're a landholder, the experience is really about having the land matcher support you to develop your vision, help you assess your land for what type of agriculture might be suitable there, then help you screen farmers. So, you know, we've got this inventory of land seekers that we're working with to help them develop their business vision. And once we as land matchers know the needs of a landholder, we can match those to any land seekers we might have available and then make introductions. We'll talk to a landholder about what they want to see on the land, who they would be a good match with, how involved they want to be in what's going on the property, what they need to have, you know, as value, what they need to get out of this, whether that's rent or crop share or some help around the property or farm classification, which provides a property tax benefit. So really trying to figure out who is going to be a good fit for this landholder and this property. And then once an introduction is made, if there's a spark and both the farmer and the landholder want to move forward, the land matcher then facilitates conversations to help the parties figure out what the terms are going to be. So get really clear on the relationship, the expectations, each person's responsibilities, and then have that put into a written agreement that gets reviewed by a lawyer. And then the parties sign it and we set them free to do the really hard work, which is, of course, the farming.
So I think the great benefit to a landowner also is that if you were just to put up your land in an advertisement, you might get, yeah, really anybody could apply and you wouldn't really know, like, are they legit? Are they going to stick around? Are they going to bail out after a month? And with this process, I feel like as a landowner, you would have a bit more assurance in terms of, yes, these are legitimate folks, like as much as you can tell. And then also with the legal support in terms of making an agreement that actually holds some water.
Yes, that is definitely the feedback that we hear from landholders. They are so happy that they don't have to sort through dozens of emails from different people. The land matcher is doing a bit of that screening, and they know that anyone coming into the BC Land Matching Program as a farmer is going through a bit of that business planning process with the land matcher. So that's a huge weight off of the mind of a landholder, as well as that support to have these conversations to figure out what should be in an agreement. There are a lot of little details that come into play here. You know, it's not always easy to remember to talk about, oh, what happens if the fencing needs repairs, or whose responsibility is it to do this or that? What happens if we run out of water at a certain point in the year because of a drought? How are these potential moments of challenge or conflict going to be addressed? And honestly, when? Because there are always things on a farm that you have to deal with. How are they going to be handled? So really having someone there to ask the questions, to get the right details. What I hear from both farmers and landholders is they can really just focus on what they do need without having to remember a whole bunch of questions that they need to get through. So the conversation can really flow between the two people. And in the end, land sharing it's all about a relationship and getting off on the right foot so that everybody knows what they're agreeing to and what is expected of them. The feedback that we get is that it just makes it so much easier during the season to have all those details covered.
It goes both ways, right? I mean, the landholder gets some peace of mind that they have a legit person on there, but also for the interested farmer, they also really benefit from your process and can also voice what they're looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. And the stakes are high when you're starting a farm business. Whether you own the land or not, you're investing so much of your time, your money, your energy, and your livelihood into this enterprise. So having the assurance of those details being clear is so important. We actually offered land linking workshops for a few years before we launched the BC Land Matching Program. And those workshops were intended to connect farmers and landholders in person and give them a bit of education around leases so that they could go and, you know, do the land sharing. And the feedback that we were getting at the end of those events was like, time and time again, I met somebody, whether it was a farmer or a landholder coming to us saying, I met somebody and I just, what do I do next? Where's the support for this? Like, this is the hard part really is like meeting someone. You know, it's great to have connections there that you might not have otherwise that you can get through the program. But really that next level of support, this is brand new for a lot of the people we work with. They've either as a farmer never leased land, or maybe as a landholder have never leased their land out to someone else before. So being able to navigate that with support really gives people the confidence to move forward.
It sounds like you're providing so many services, which you do, especially with, you have the lawyer looking through the agreement, and there's lots of back and forth and so many little details. One would maybe think, boy, what's that going to cost me? You know, as a landholder, if I'd like to rent out my land or share out my land. Do you want to just talk about that aspect as well?
Yeah, there's no cost to participate in the BC Land Matching Program, to get support from a land matcher, to work with a land matcher on a lease. That's all included in the program. The BC Land Matching Program is funded across BC by the province of British Columbia. The program is part of their new entrant strategy, which is all about supporting new farmers to get on the land and then develop their businesses. So publicly funded program, Young Agrarians is a charity. And we're really here because offering this program because that land access piece, it's really, if you can't overcome that, you don't have the support it takes to get on the land in today's very competitive, expensive real estate market. It doesn't matter how great your farm business idea is. So we're really thrilled to be able to provide this facilitation, this support to farmers and landholders to make the change that we need in the sector and help these farmers get going.
If folks are thinking about land sharing, or maybe again, half that parcel that's sitting there and somebody could really do something with it, what are some of the considerations that somebody needs to take into account?
You know, the first things to think about as a landholder are you know, what the land is good for. What is the history of the land? We work with landholders who are farming or ranching themselves. And, you know, if that's you, you're likely to already have a lot of knowledge about your land that you can pass on to the land matcher or to potential farmers. But also what it looks like for you to have someone accessing this property. We do have a lot of those matches where now there are two farm businesses running alongside each other, and navigating that it's important to have clarity there. There was one match in the Okanagan that I can think of where the landholders were farming, running a 40-acre vegetable operation, and someone was leasing a smaller portion of the property. And you know, they really had to figure out who is watering, who's irrigating when, because if they were both trying to irrigate at the same time, that would affect the water pressure. So navigating some of those, like, how are we getting along on the ground logistically, that's really important. So thinking about how does having someone on your property fit into your lifestyle, your vision, your farming operation, things like that. And then again, I mentioned, like, what is this adding value-wise to you? Is it taking care of that area of the property that you're just never able to get to? So now you know the soil is being nurtured and you don't need to maintain it. What are you needing to get out of this?
And I think in the Peace region in particular, you're still looking for landholders who would be open to sharing, right? It seems there's quite a bit of interest in folks who are looking for land.
Very much so, yes. I think land in the Peace is rare, hard to come by. Our land matcher for the region was, we were talking about land for sale even up there, and she was highlighting to me that there are, you know, a few dozen listings for sale under 100 acres, but very few over a couple hundred acres. And that scarcity is like, nobody is making more land. So we do have those new folks who are trying to get into the sector. And I know that there must be some land up there that is just waiting for them, that maybe isn't currently being grazed or hayed, but could really add to the food production in the area.
And maybe the other category would be somebody who is coming to the end of wanting to be farming and is looking for a transition, but they don't have anybody in the family or they don't have anybody they can pass it on to. That's also something the Young Agrarians lends great support in, right?
Absolutely. A few years ago, we really started hearing from some of these seasoned farmers who didn't have family that wanted to transition into their operation about what they wanted to see happen to their farm, their land, their business, what they wanted their legacy to be, and really heard that there was a desire for them to find a successor to take on the business. We talked about the cost of getting into farming earlier, and 20 years ago, we didn't talk about non-family transition because a young farmer could just come and buy that business or that land and get started. It was a different situation. But now we're really in this place where it takes a lot of creativity and planning to bring someone new onto a piece of farmland with how much it would cost for someone to get started. So we have stepped into that space of being able to support people to navigate these non-family transitions. There are a lot of resources out there for farm succession more generally, but non-family transition has some very unique considerations, you know, both financially as well as relationship-wise. We've got a toolkit for non-family farm transfer in BC that folks can check out on our website that highlights the process considerations for both the current farmer and entering farmers, and some case stories of people who have done this successfully. And one example that or a couple really, really interesting examples that I can think of. And in one case, on an organic vegetable operation that had been in existence for 30 years, the farmers had found successors. They'd been farming alongside them for a few years. And, you know, this land was worth millions of dollars. No new farmer would have been able to just step in and get a mortgage for that, really, not based on farm revenues for a business they were starting anyways. And what was really unique about this was that because they were taking over a business instead of starting something new, they were able to get a mortgage with that 30-year history of financial records. So I think that that's a really important piece for, you know, the resiliency of the food system and continuing these farms that have been feeding their communities for a generation now, ensuring that we're not putting that resource to the side, wrapping that business up, the time and expense it takes to do that and get something new started on a property when there could be continuity. That's what we're seeing really be successful for both the folks who were transitioning out of their career and new people coming in. It also allowed those landholders to stay on their land, stay connected to the farm, and see their vision for their retirement years come to life. In another situation, actually in the Peace region, we've worked with a young farmer who is doing a lease-to-own situation with a couple who are also wanting to step away from the day-to-day work of farming. They've been in the region for 40 years, running their very self-sustaining farm that does livestock and hay and vegetable production. And for this young farmer to be able to come in and really put down roots here with the stability of knowing that they're on a pathway to having security on the land in this lease-to-own situation, you know, that gives everybody the confidence to know that there's commitment here, both from the new farmer and the folks already on the property, to see the farm succeed into the future.
Transition is extremely emotional at the best of times. And then when you're transitioning to somebody who's outside of the family, that just brings it to a whole new level. And I think for the young agrarians to have all these tools to assist people is extremely valuable.
We did a lot of interviews with seasoned farmers, elder farmers, when we were developing that toolkit. And one of the questions I asked all of them was, you know, what's different about non-family transition from family succession planning? And every single one of them said, oh, it's way easier. You don't have all of that family baggage to deal with, which is true. You know, you don't have the grudge that so-and-so has been holding against their uncle for 30 years to contend with, all of that family dynamic that can come into play. And that can be helpful. You're starting fresh. You can build a relationship based around this vision and this business. It also can create some challenges. I think the flip side of not having the family conflict is you don't have the family values to rely on. You don't have that feeling of being really connected to this family or this farm. So in some cases, if it gets too hard, it feels a little easier to walk away. So it really does take commitment from everyone to make it work and keeping that vision and those shared goals in mind.
You've already shared some cases where everybody did make it work. Do you have a few more sort of success stories that you could share that folks could relate to?
We've just talked a lot about transition and highlighted some great examples of people who've successfully navigated this non-family transition space. We've also, in the BC Land Matching Program, supported 220 odd matches across BC. So we've seen lots of people come through the program and succeed. And now we're in year six of the program BC-wide, year three, I believe, in the Central North of the Peace region. And so it's been so great to see some of those farmers we matched a few years ago really growing their business and succeeding. And in the Peace region, we've had 21 matches on thousands of acres. That's actually on 4,415 acres. And they really are all types of farmers. So a lot of smaller scale market gardeners who are keen to get started in their communities. And I think one of the great things about the energy that new farmers are bringing to agriculture is that a lot of them are, you know, moving out of say, Vancouver or other larger population centers, and either going back to their hometown or finding a new hometown in regions like the Peace or the Buckley Valley closer to the coast. And, you know, some of what we're doing is rural revitalization. It's bringing people back into communities, younger families maybe. And I think that's a really, really great element of this land matching work. You know, in the Peace region, huge demand for hay. So we've been able to work on a couple matches to help farmers access hay for their livestock. So helpful, especially given the cost of purchasing hay these days. In Fort Nelson, we worked on a match on 2,300 acres that saw, it's a bit of a transition in progress where the couple that had been on the land, they'd been running cattle and they were really trying to retire, stop doing all that work, but wanted to see the land continue to be used productively. So they were matched to a younger couple who was really excited to move up to Fort Nelson. And they are, you know, running smaller ruminants on the land, so sheep. And so we've seen the type of production change a little bit there as the younger generation comes in, still seeing the land used really well. And the parties are navigating, you know, sharing land, seeing how it goes. And hopefully the long-term vision there is for that young couple to be able to stay on that property. So we'll follow them and see how we can continue to support. We also do have some property available in the Peace region. You can check out our website to see any available land, but we're really excited to host an event. So at Pure Pastures Regenerative Farm on Saturday, July 9th from 1 to 4 p.m. in Rose Prairie, we'll host a land social. Everyone will get to meet Morgan, the land matcher for the region, hear a bit about the land opportunity that's available there, which is a really cool cooperative model that is going to create different opportunities for many different farmers there. See what those folks are up to with their cattle operation and generally share some food and enjoy some networking on this beautiful property.
Some excellent stories right out of the Peace region.
Such a beautiful place to visit and farm and live. So many opportunities, some really fantastic community. Everything I hear from folks farming in the region or wanting to farm in the region is there's this energy around food systems, around community, and around growing more resilience around food. And I think it's so wonderful. I'm thrilled that Young Agrarians and the BC Land Matching Program can be a part of it.
So you mentioned the event happening in July. If folks are interested, where should they go to get themselves registered for that?
They can visit our website, youngagrarians.org/events will be the easiest way to find it. And you'll see the Pure Pastures Land Social there and you can click to register. We really hope to see a lot of folks come out and join us that afternoon.
While they're on the website, they can also look for the non-family transition manual, is it? Or handbook?
Toolkit.
Oh, yeah. Almost got it.
the official name is the BC Transition Toolkit for Non-Family Farm Transfer. If you visit our land page, youngagrarians.org/land, you can find information about our land matching program. You can get in touch with Morgan, our land matcher, through the website or by emailing morgan@youngagrarians.org. You can also find guides, our land access guide, as well as the transition toolkit at youngagrarians.org/land.
Yes, and I can totally vouch for Morgan. She's very outgoing and super happy to meet people. And she's up in Vanderhoof, so also a fellow Northerner.
Yes, and she's got her own regenerative cattle operation on her land in Vanderhoof. She's extremely knowledgeable about both farming and ranching, as well as land in the Peace. She'd love to hear from you, from everyone.
You bet, yes. Is there anything else that you would like to highlight for folks to go have a look at?
One other thing that I would touch on is for anyone who is thinking about starting a farm business, this won't be happening until the fall, but we offer online business boot camps. generally in the fall so that farmers can participate. And that's a great opportunity to learn from a lot of different farmers or experts, either in marketing or business planning, farm financials, to help you refine or build out your business plan, and then also get support from a peer network of other farmers who are going through the same program. So you can also learn about that on our website, but that's a great way for farmers to dig a bit deeper into the business planning process and start to get ready for launching your business.
And a business plan is definitely important.
Everybody loves to business plan, I know. I think the woman who runs our business mentorship network likes to say that, you know, I think people think about a business plan as something you have to put a bunch of time into writing and you have to know everything and it has to be perfect. And I think that's not it at all. The business plan is a living document that is like the guiding light for you, something you can always go back to reference and update and make sure that you're making the right decisions for your business. You've got something to plan against. Access financing, it's really important to have a good business plan for that. So being able to develop something that works for you and your farm business. I think the numbers on success for entrepreneurs, small businesses that have a business plan versus those that don't is like 3 times more likely to succeed over the long term. Don't quote me on that number, but it is quite significant. So we always encourage people to even just going through the process of thinking about your business in that way is so helpful.
And if anything, I would definitely encourage folk to just go have a look at your website, the Young Agrarians website. I like going there just to look at the land that's available. It's always interesting to see and the opportunities that are there.
Yeah, we've had a few land opportunities posted in central and northern BC recently. Those are great to check out for sure.
I really appreciate your time today, Darcy. And we hopefully will see everybody at that land social coming up this summer.
Yeah, it was an honor to come and join you today and talk about agriculture and land access in the Peace region. Thank you so much for having me.
Welcome back. As Darcy mentioned, be sure to sign up for the Land Social happening here in the Peace region and check out their website at youngagrarians.org for this and other events that you might be interested in. While you're there, it's also the place to find all the support tools that Darcy was mentioning. As always, if you found this information helpful, chances are somebody else might appreciate it too. Be sure to share the podcast with others in your network who might also find value in this episode. Up next will be a chat with Kim Cornish, director at the Food Water Wellness Foundation, where we will go not just on the land, but underground. Kim has been looking at ways to measure and quantify soil carbon in Alberta, and hopefully soon in BC as well. Her work will hopefully help farmers and ranchers on the road to getting acknowledgement and credit for the soil-building work that they do on the land. If you love decoding the mysteries of the soil and enjoy digging deeper into the nitty-gritty science of it, then you might really enjoy this next episode. Be sure to subscribe, like, follow, do all that good stuff so you never miss another episode. You can find us on various podcast platforms, including Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcast, or, of course, on the 4 Partner Association websites. I will talk to you in the next episode. Funding for this project was provided by the BC Hydro Peace Agricultural Compensation Fund. Thank you so much for making this project possible and supporting local agriculture in the Peace and beyond. For feedback or suggestions on how we can make this podcast series more tailored to the Peace region and your needs, email us at coordinator@peaceforge.bc.ca. Until next time, stay informed, stay resilient.